Don't say.
On cornerofthegalaxy.com. Welcome to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. I'm Josh Gessman. On today's show, I'm going to recap the 2-2 draw with Sporting Kansas City. It was a horrible performance capped off by a stunning goal from Landon Donovan, which really goes to prove sometimes all it takes is 30 seconds of greatness. Then I'm going to update you on all the LA Galaxy news, including a check-in on Jack McBean's loan to Coventry City and some LA Galaxy 2 announcements. And finally, we're going to preview the LA Galaxy's matchup with the Seattle Sounders on Sunday. Along the way, we're expecting some special guests, and we'll have a special co-host as well. It's a packed show, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com.
You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Now here's your host, Josh Gessman.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Josh Gessman here with you once again. Glad to have you. Another exciting show is lined up for you. And, of course, if you're not checking out our shows live on YouTube, then you're missing out on all of the fun live stuff that we do. Now, a little point of order here before we get too far into everything. All of my co-hosts left me. Nobody wanted to hang out with me. It's Thursday. The season ticket holder event is going on, so I understand. So, to help me out, because you know I need all the help I can possibly get, I reached out to one of my good friends in the press box. He is a writer and contributor for LAGalaxy.com. You've read a lot of his stuff. You've heard him on the podcast as he's made many appearances on Corner of the Galaxy from the Box. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Larry Morgan. Larry, thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure, Josh. Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to sit here and have a good time tonight. Larry has promised that he's going to regale us with all of his wonderful stories. And of course, we're going to hopefully have some special guests as well, and as they come on the line, we'll go ahead and introduce them. But Larry, the first thing we have to get to, obviously, is the LA Galaxy looking at a 2-2 draw with Sporting Kansas City. I think we talked before we started this show, and I said, Larry, that this was possibly one of the worst performances I've seen from the LA Galaxy, and they still got a 2-2 draw out of it, so maybe I shouldn't complain too much. It was better than the 0-0 draw that LA and Kansas City put together earlier this year, which saw the LA Galaxy not record a single shot on goal, if I remember correctly. That was also a pretty horrible game. But, you know, the real highlights are just sort of the main talking point is obviously Landon Donovan getting a goal and really leveling the playing field for the LA Galaxy. What'd you think overall of the performance?
Well, let's put it this way. Sometimes you have to win ugly, and they certainly outdid themselves on Sunday. There are games during the season where you have to somehow find a way when you're not at your best or even close to your best and get a result. And it took the Galaxy's ancient mariner, Mr. Donovan,
yep,
to come up with a wonderful, wonderful goal to salvage that tie.
Yeah, that's really what it is. I think I joked around in the.
I'm not saying he's that old, but you know, he's 34. You know,
he is. he is just like me. And you know, that's the fun thing about this is that I get to criticize guys for being too old who are a year younger than me or just around that. But the LA Galaxy went into Sporting Kansas City. The things that really I want to highlight of this game, because there aren't many highlights. As a matter of fact, I wrote them all down. There aren't that many highlights. Most of them came from Sporting Kansas City. And honestly, if you were a Sporting KC fan, you're upset that the LA Galaxy or that they didn't get the win, is that Sporting Kansas City didn't get the win because they had most of the possession. They had all the shots on goal, basically. Did you look at the shot totals on this game?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. So
unbelievable.
So Sporting KC outshot the LA Galaxy 22-4. Is what the final was, but only 3-2 on target. So, you know, Bruce Arena loves to talk about shots and loves to talk about all the stats that he loves Larry. So what do you think Bruce thinks about his 22-4 shooting performance there?
I don't know what else he can say. It seems like he's never satisfied. Frankly, there wasn't much to be satisfied about in that game. But also, I was very surprised that they did get a result. One, it's a tough place to play.
Right.
Two, these are the kinds of games they were losing earlier in the season, and they somehow managed to get a result, thankfully, because of Mr. Donovan, great left-footed shot. But I just think Bruce has run out of things to say about what he can do to snap this team out of its doldrums. I mean, it seems like every time we talk to him, he gets a little bit more and more exasperated. I mean, I don't know what else he can do.
Yeah, no, I think I understand what you're saying there. There's definitely been something and he
keeps talking about these mistakes. It's too late in the season to keep making these mistakes.
Well, I don't even know if you're going to talk about mistakes in this particular. This is a game for the LA Galaxy that you look at and say that they had no energy in the game, so they probably didn't deserve to get the point that they got. Defensively, they were okay, but one person stood out, Yael Van Dam again. I think he had two or three or four blocked shots on the night, and one or two of those was going in the back of the net. So you can say that Yael Van Dam was your man of the match. I said it. Lots of people have said it, so I don't think I'm saying or speaking out of turn.
He's been the man of the season. I mean, we both agree he's been the man of the season. He's their MVP as far as we're concerned.
Yes.
He's been tremendous, tremendous. And how he came back so quickly from a sprained knee ligament, which we all know is a slight tear, is beyond me.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's really, he is sort of the guy who has made the LA Galaxy season somewhat enjoyable. Although we say it hasn't been a good season. I'm not alone in saying that the LA Galaxy have underperformed totally this year. And they have. But at the same time, they're second in the West and they have a chance at the Supporters Shield.
And they've only lost four times.
They've only lost four times. They've only lost five times at home in the last four seasons.
Right.
Larry, only five.
Right.
So
we keep complaining and just ripping them, but you know, when you look at the numbers, they're pretty impressive.
They are. It's the long view. When you look at the long view, that's how it is. The other big story here is Giovanni Dos Santos not playing in this game. A left hip flexor issue that apparently picked up in training kept him out of this particular match with Sporting Kansas City. He was on the bench. But Bruce said that if they didn't have to play him, he wasn't going to play him, I think, in the postgame, and he didn't have to play him, so he didn't play him. That was fine, which is okay. But you did get to see Robbie Keane come back. This was the first game I think Robbie Keane started in a month. Alan Gordon was up top with Robbie Keane. You had Boateng, Legette, Laurentiwicz, and Mendiola through the central again. Listen, for a game that's going to be hot and a lot of energy, Larry, I'm perfectly okay with putting in somebody like Mendiola and Boateng and Jeff Laurentiwicz in there to sort of help backstop Sebastian Legette. And Legette has been doing well in that central attacking midfielder role anyway. So again, you know, it's listed as a 4-4-2 here. There's probably a shift between the strikers, although the striker play in this game wasn't exactly stellar. So I'm not sure whatever formation they were using, it wasn't working. And then you had a back line of Cole, Van Dam, Stairs, and Rogers. My issues with the defense start again with Mendiola and Rogers defensively. The right-hand side of the LA Galaxy defense is very weak right now, and Robbie Rogers is not the best defender. If you want the best defender, you put A.J. De La Garza in.
Right, and it's so tough to keep somebody like A.J. on the bench because he's so savvy, he's so smart. He has to play, but where do you play him?
I know where I play him.
I would play him ahead of Rogers.
See,
yes.
Yeah, I think the only person, there are a couple people out there, Larry. There are a couple people out there who actually like Robbie Rogers there, and they will point to the goal and the assist that Landon Donovan scored was a Robbie Rogers thing. But Landon Donovan made that play for the most part. And my biggest criticism of Robbie Rogers, besides his defense, is that attacking wise, his crossing is poor.
Abysmal.
And
it's not poor, it's abysmal.
He doesn't clear enough space.
No.
The ball rarely gets around the first guy. He usually knocks it into somebody. And granted, that can win you a corner kick. In this game, it didn't, though, because the LA Galaxy had a total of zero corner kicks in this game. And that shows, again, the lack of attacking that they had in this game was non-existent. They attacked twice, they scored twice. That's basically how it works. Alan Gordon scored completely against the run of play in, I think, the seventh minute. It was a great play. It was perfect, but it was a half chance that the LA Galaxy turned into something, and it was bad defending on Sporting Kansas City's part.
Right, and when you see the Galaxy as much as we do, we keep asking ourselves, why do they have so many problems in the attacking third of the field?
Right.
And continue to have these problems. With all this talent, they continue to have these problems, and we just shake our heads.
Yeah, no, it is one of those interesting things. And again, I don't know what you do on that right-hand side, but you're going to worry about goals and giving up goals if you have Mendiola, who is an okay defender, not great. But the problem is that he's inexperienced against a defender in Rodgers who isn't that great. And so that right-hand side. And then if you want to add into it, you put Daniel Starez, who's also on that right-hand side. So you now have three sort of players on that right-hand side who are not the most experienced players in the world. Yeah. And then that means, of course, that you have a bunch of issues on that right-hand side. So if I'm a team and if I'm Seattle coming in, then I say attack down your left-hand side, the LA Galaxy's right-hand side, because that's where the weakest point is. And until Robbie Rodgers can do something to show me that he's not that weakest link, that's where I would continue to attack. And if you're going to attack down the center, you attack towards Starez's side. It just makes sense. You're going to attack away from Cole and Van Damme, and Boateng is a good defender. And in this game, he's gotten
better as a defender.
He's been tracking back a lot. In this Kansas City game, he was basically the fifth defender outside of Ashley Cole at a lot of places. Yeah. He was playing on the back line. So, you know what? We have a call, so let's see if we can bring them in and see who this is. Let's see. 714, who's this?
This is Kevin.
Hey, Kevin. You called so early. I appreciate it. We're already live. So Larry's in here with me as my co-host. So everybody, please welcome to the show, Mr. Kevin Baxter of the LA Times. Kevin, we were talking about Sporting Kansas City, and you chimed in at just the perfect time, because I would love to get your thoughts on exactly what happened with the LA Galaxy over the weekend.
Well, you know, Landon Donovan said all along that he wanted to have one moment here down the stretch.
Right.
Where he thought that he could contribute something special, and he didn't wait very long. 7 minutes in the first game and 1 minute into the second game, and he had that special moment.
Yeah, he really did, and that's sort of the amazing thing about Landon Donovan, is that he's able to, you know, pull off these magic moments, Kevin. Basically somebody said, hey, if he does nothing for the rest of the year, he contributed, and he did something, so that's it. You could basically write the Landon Donovan experiment off as a success.
Well, yes, so far. I think the thing with Landon is he's going to add more or have more of an effect, let's say, in the dressing room than I think he is on the field, and he's already had a great impact on the field. He's talked about wanting to help some of the younger players, but he's also entering a dressing room that he's not familiar with. A lot of these players weren't here when he last played, and they had their clubhouse chemistry, and they had their locker room leaders, and you know, Landon's entering that as a guy who has a lot of gravitas. He's a guy who deserves a lot of respect. And I'm just wondering how he's going to fit into that. Is Landon sort of going to demand the position that he once had in the hierarchy of the dressing room? Mm-hmm. Is he going to just sit there quietly? That doesn't seem to be the kind of personality that he has. And so you just... In talking with some of the veterans, I'm kind of getting a little bit of a vibe of, we're trying to figure this out. We're not really quite sure, where Landon fits in. If he should be the one talking to the young players, if that's Robbie Keane's job. So I do think this is a little bit of a feeling out process, which is really strange to say about a guy who's played, 350 games in Major League Soccer.
You know, Josh, My question about Landon is, did he ever ask Michael Stevens if it was okay to wear his old jersey number?
Yeah, that's the big question for Landon Donovan. Mikey Stevens. I miss Mikey. Oh, well, that's another place. Kevin, let's talk.
The Galaxy's worst dresser, bar none. Bar none.
Wow, Kevin, would you agree with that? Michael Stevens, the Galaxy's worst dresser?
That's hard to say, but I do think that there's probably a lot of competition for that job.
Definitely from the press corps, that's for sure. All right, let's go to let's talk a little bit more about this. You know, I was going to comment on the heat, and obviously the LA Galaxy took a water break, or a hydration break, as they call it, I believe is the official language here, for this game. But the LA Galaxy lacked any sort of attacking momentum. They lacked any sort of energy that came on, besides 1 or 2 minutes from Landon Donovan and about 30 seconds from Alan Gordon. How much of the heat really took something out of them, or is this just a fact this team looked old in this particular game?
Is this for myself or Larry?
For you, Kevin. Sorry.
Well, you know, I think the hydration breaks was very interesting to hear Bruce Arena talk about how they happened at the wrong time. Bruce seems to find something to complain about with just about everything.
Yes.
Which is taking
nothing
away
from you, Kevin.
Yeah, he's the obviously the greatest coach in U.S. soccer history, so he deserves all the respect that he's earned. But they do look old, and the Heat should not be an excuse for a team that trains, you know, regularly in 85, 90, even 100 degree temperatures at the StubHub Center. You know, practice for the second half of the season has actually been moved a half hour earlier because it was so hot. So this is a team that should be used to the heat. I do think that they do have a lot of older players. They do have a lot of guys struggling a little bit for fitness. You look at a guy like Alan Gordon, who started four of the last five games, but up until now hasn't been playing regularly. Robbie Keane missed a month. You know, there are a lot of guys that they should be fit at this time of year, but game fitness to run for 90 minutes in that kind of heat is different from the fitness to go out and train and you know, to work out in the gym every day. So
right.
I think they're still struggling with that a little bit, which is strange to say this late in the season. And I was, you know, one thing about the defense, it did look a little bit unorganized. It looked like some of the guys were not on the same page. And I know the team's record was actually better when you look at winning percentage. It was actually better without Nigel DeJong on the field, but
right.
since he's been gone, I'm wondering if there is a little bit of there is a little bit of missing him and some of the physicality that he brought in that holding midfield position, that there isn't that stopper in front of the back line, and maybe people are getting to the back line a little faster than they're used to, and they're having to make decisions a little bit quicker than they had to earlier in the season. So I wonder if Nigel's absence has a little bit to do with the sort of the disarray on the back line.
Yeah. Do you also put any stock in the fact that the LA Galaxy, because they didn't hold almost any possession in this game, very lopsided in terms of possession, especially in the first half? I thought Kansas City had the ball for, I don't know, 44 minutes out of the 45 that were played. Do you think any of that had to do with the fact that, you know, whenever the Galaxy don't seem to attack, Kevin, we saw it in the RSL game late in the game, or anytime the LA Galaxy have really been scored on late in the game, it's because they haven't attacked. They haven't held possession. They didn't do any of the things that they needed to do in order to secure the ball, and then that leads to the defense being put under a tremendous amount of pressure. And I agree with the Nigel De Jong thing. I also agree that your defense right now with Robbie Rogers on it, because you want the offensive threat, or at least I'm assuming that's why Bruce plays Robbie Rogers, is for the offensive threat instead of AJ De La Garza. With Robbie Rogers out there, with Raul Mendiola out there, with Daniel Starez, these guys just aren't as strong defending as maybe some of the other guys, like you could put in a Baggio, who Sidic even has maybe a more defensive bite than a Raul Mendiola. Now, offensively, that's a horrible idea, but nonetheless, Baggio, who Sidic, you know, is one of those players, or AJ De La Garza out there instead of Robbie Rogers. I mean, that seems like a more defensive team, and giving up these goals, especially in Kansas City, seems like it was a defensive slash because the offense couldn't hold the ball for very long problem.
Well, there's a lot to bite into there. First of all, Kansas City had to win that game, and so I think that there was a lot. You have to give them a lot of credit for holding possession and for pushing forward so much. That was the game that they had to win, and they didn't win it, and you know, that's crushing in their hopes of getting a good playoff seeding. So
right.
that was part of it. The other part is, I think maybe when Bruce Arena gets the 11 out there that he wants, you may see some of those changes. You know, back in the day, back to say, going back to 2012, when the Galaxy had that incredible defensive effort, when you look at the numbers they put up that season, they played defense by playing offense. They played defense by pushing forward and keeping possession of the ball, sort of what you're talking about. And so, you know, their best defense was a good offense in that time. And I think when Bruce Arena has the 11 that he wants out there, and that would be an 11 that would include Giovanni Dos Santos, well, he's not going to get Zardes back, but Robbie Keane, you know, maybe Steven Gerrard in that sort of attacking midfield role. When he gets those guys out there, I think possession, you know, you will be able to play some of those defensive players, because Bruce was going to rely on Robbie Keane and Gio and Gerrard to keep the ball forward. Then I think maybe Mendiola goes back to the sidelines and you play a Jeff Lorenowitz, or as you say, a Husidic,
right,
more as a holding midfielder, to sort of help that back line out. And then it's sort of more evenly split, where there's five players playing offensively and five players playing defensively. But right now, as you said, you know, Robbie Rogers and Mendiola in the midfield, he wants those guys pushing forward, and it's more sort of like a 6-4 or even a 7-3 split. And the other thing to think about on that is, you know, the defense is where you have a 35-year-old Ashley Cole and a 31-year, 32-year-old Jello Van Damme
right.
and Robbie Rogers, 28. You have guys with a lot of mileage back there that you're asking to do a lot of things. And now, on top of that, you're putting pressure on them. So I think an ideal lineup for Bruce Arena would have, guys playing offense and guys playing defense and not so much having some of your backliners rush forward. I think that's the ideal situation. And unfortunately, doesn't have the luxury of that right now with all these injuries.
Yeah, no, those are all good points.
Speaking of the L.A. defense, A.J.'s got to be out there.
Yeah, no.
Every time I see him on the bench, I cringe. I mean, he is clearly their best intuitive defender. He has to be out there.
Yeah,
he has to be.
If you're looking for defense, this is an argument that I've had too there, Kevin, is that if you're looking for defense, if you're complaining that the LA Galaxy are giving up goals and A.J. De La Garza is on your bench, then you can't be complaining about giving up goals if you're Bruce Arena, because you have a defender on the bench who I think gives you almost equal attacking as Robbie Rogers. People disagree with me. That's fine. I can stand to be the only person who's right on that one. All right. So, but that doesn't happen. But the other thing that I wanted to say, you talk about guys who sit on the bench or who haven't been there, Kevin, Robbie Rogers, one of those guys who's playing now. A.J. De La Garza is on the bench, a guy who hasn't played a whole bunch. Robbie Keane, wasn't on the field. The LA Galaxy and Giovanni Dos Santos played pretty well without Robbie Keane. You're talking about the LA Galaxy playing pretty well without Steven Gerrard. Is the LA Galaxy a better team without Robbie Keane and Steven Gerrard on the field right now?
No, I don't think so. And to your point a little bit, I think just a bit ago with Robbie Rogers, I think it's interesting how Bruce Arena, to me, and I could be completely wrong, but seems to have a kind of a template of the way he wants to play. And I see Robbie Rogers as kind of the modern day Sean Franklin. I mean, he had that back liner that ran up and down the field and Bruce loved that. And Sean Franklin was extremely successful doing that. And now he's trying to make Robbie Rogers do that. And I just throw that out there as an observation. But when you look at the guys coming back from injury, I think you have to give them a little bit of time to get their fitness and maybe even their chemistry back. I do think they're a better team with Robbie Keane and remember Gerrard has 11 assists. Let's not forget that, despite the limited playing time. I think back to a former life when I covered baseball, and I think back to the 2006 Cardinals, who their starting rotation was decimated by injuries and guys missed a lot of time, and the team barely made the playoffs. And the question was, these guys coming off injury, are they going to be strong enough to lead the team through the playoffs? Well, you know what? They were like a house of fire. They had been rested. They came into the playoffs after everyone on the opposing teams had played 170 and 180 games, and these guys were fresh. And I bring that up only because I wonder if that's going to be a huge advantage for the Galaxy.
Right.
If these guys are healthy through the postseason, they got four games now in the regular season to get ready, and then the playoffs, you're going to be getting a Robbie Keane and a Steven Gerrard that are both fit and rested and stronger than they would have been if they had played all season. You can enter Gio into that picture too, and then the guys on the bench, Lorenowitz has not played a full season,
Sidic,
none of those guys have really played a full season. They've gotten enough experience to be good, but not enough playing time to be tired. And the last thing I want to say too on the defense, I am by far Brian Rowe's biggest fan, but
yes.
I'm wondering, is he regressing a little bit? It seemed to me like he never made a bad decision about coming off his line and some of the things he did early in the season. It seems now he almost feels like he's lost confidence, but he almost feels like he's not quite sure what to do next. Where at the beginning of the season, he let his instincts take over. I'm wondering if he's thinking a little bit too much now.
No. I mean, listen, I think after that RSL goal he gave up, that may have messed with his head a little bit. Remember, he got hit in the head by Robbie Keane as well. And he said he was going to wear that headgear until Nigel De Jong wasn't on the team anymore. So I'm waiting for that headgear to come off because Nigel's gone. So that's happened. No, I think you're spot on with Rowe. And like you said, I'm a big fan of Brian Rowe's too. I think he's been really, really good for the LA Galaxy this year when perhaps maybe Dan Kennedy couldn't have done the job. I know lots of people say, why not play Dan Kennedy and find out? I'm not so sure that Bruce even thinks that obviously Bruce doesn't think Dan Kennedy's the guy. Otherwise he wouldn't be the number three keeper who sits on the bench as the number two keeper a lot of times. But I think that's all interesting. And you talked about the bench and everything, Landon Donovan coming off the bench and being rested, all of those guys.
And when was the last time, and this happened, a couple of games ago, where you saw Robbie Keane and Landon Donovan on the bench, yep, coming in as substitutes.
No.
When has that happened before?
It's a luxury that the LA Galaxy have that, again, and we even talked about it before Landon Donovan was even on the team here, Kevin, is that the LA Galaxy have one of the best benches in Major League Soccer. I mean, it's not even close. You add Landon Donovan to the bench now. Come on. It's getting kind of ridiculous.
Well, and you know, the other thing is I'm writing a story this weekend about Alan Gordon, and one of the things that was pointed out to me is, you know, Robbie Keane, Gio, they're both shorter players, or Landon Donovan, they play with the ball at their feet. They play with, it's a low game. There's not a lot of aerial stuff going on.
Right.
And so teams prepare for that. Teams play for that that game for 70 minutes. And all of a sudden, Alan Gordon comes on, a big physical guy who's just tremendous in the air, and it changes. And it's, to use the baseball analogy, you have a guy throw 100 miles an hour for seven innings, and then you bring a knuckleball guy in out of the bullpen. Teams cannot make that adjustment. And so when you talk about the Galaxy bench, it's just not the players that they have on the bench, but it's the style of play they have on the bench. They can change up with one substitution and become a completely different team.
No, it's all good points. All right, Kevin, we're going to see you at the game on Sunday, correct? You'll be there?
I will be there, and so will the sun, apparently. It's supposed to be close to 100 degrees, I hear.
Isn't that nice? At a 1 p.m. kickoff time for Seattle and L.A. Galaxy at StubHub Center in Carson, about 94, 95 degrees is what I saw. So, I think hydration breaks will be in order, and we'll talk more about that. Kevin, you have a great day. Thank you for calling in, buddy, and we'll talk to you real soon, all right?
Thanks for having me on. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Bye, Larry.
All right, so there you go. There goes Kevin Baxter. If you want to follow Kevin Baxter on Twitter, at KBaxter11. If you want to follow Larry Morgan on Twitter, he doesn't have a Twitter account. So, sorry, Larry.
Thanks, Josh.
Yeah,
thank
I just,
you very much.
We use the hashtag Larry Morgan not on Twitter whenever you want to talk about Larry. And if you send it to me, I will text whatever you send to Larry to him. So that way we can continue the wonderful circle of Larry Morgan not being on social media. We're all missing out, folks. I'm telling you, we have good stories here, lots of stuff. To wrap up, Larry, now the game against Sporting Kansas City. Landon Donovan comes in, scores a goal. Great. That was what he was supposed to do. It was a wonderful play. Sebastian Legette, Jeff Lorenowitz, Landon Donovan, Robbie Rogers back to Landon Donovan. And left-footed, his weaker foot, he puts it in the back of the net. Great. That was great. The overall that I take from Sporting Kansas City in that game was that the LA Galaxy came in looking for the draw, were surprised they went up in the seventh minute, did an okay defensive job for the rest of the game. They allowed those two goals in the second half. Robbie Rogers got beat to the back post. Not that I'm harping on Robbie Rogers, but he got beat to the back post. Ashley Cole didn't come out and shut down Dom Dwyer. That was a problem as well. Even though he had backup with Yella Van Damme, he could have easily closed that off. You had the Dwyer. That was the Dwyer goal that went to the back post. And then the other one is Dom Dwyer that scored on a defensive lapse by the LA Galaxy. A quick free kick.
The quick free kick.
Yeah. Well, great by Benny Failhaber to realize that was going on. Boateng got caught way out of position. We were singing his praises, but he was the guy who missed his mark on that particular one. It was sad. Abdul Salam was about, 10 yards already running with the ball by the time Boateng looked up and saw it. And then he was able to get that pass across to the front there. And it was pretty easy for them, actually. And then the fact that Dom Dwyer beats four LA Galaxy players to the line in the ball is another thing that's sort of a little teed off. So they made mistakes, and Bruce Arena will mention those mistakes and talk about those mistakes, Larry. But
why do these mistakes keep happening?
Because it's
as
soccer.
As we said before, it's so deep into the season, they shouldn't keep making these mistakes.
No, they shouldn't. But every goal happens because of multiple mistakes, right? I mean, there's right. no... If you look at it from Landon Donovan's perspective...
But these happen at an alarming rate with this team.
Do they, though? Again, the team is in second place in the Western Conference.
I know. It's a bubble. We criticize them. Hey, they've only lost four times. Come on.
Yeah, I know. It's But they have drawn
15
times. 15 times. Wow. The LA Galaxy have a plus 17 goal differential that is still the best in MLS, and they are 32 goals allowed, or second fewest in the Western Conference. So defensively, still the second best in the Western Conference.
I think two words best describe the Galaxy's performance in KC.
Are you extremely fortunate? Oh, I was getting the beep button ready.
No.
I thought you said two words.
Extremely fortunate.
But
that was a game they would have lost earlier in the season if not for Landon Donovan.
I don't know. I feel like it's a game that they draw regardless because they have 15 draws and they haven't lost a ton of games. I mean, if you look at the games they've lost, and off the top of my head, a Colorado game at the very, very beginning of the year that happened in the 94th minute. Let's see, there's the New York City FC game, which was an offside goal that happened in New York. So that one, you can almost throw that one out as well. So I'm trying to remember what the other games they lost were off the top of my head. I don't have them anymore. But, you know, you look at some of them and it's like, okay, you kind of live with them. Those could have easily been draws too, by the way. Sure. The LA Galaxy could have had four more draws in this and had 19.
Can you imagine?
I think 18 is the record.
18, okay.
I think the MLS record. The LA Galaxy record is now 15 because this team has drawn 15 times. So that's something to sort of keep an eye on. But now Landon Donovan has 145 career goals. They had to update the graphic on the Fox Sports website there whenever that happened. So lots of good stuff from the LA Galaxy. Like I said, horrible performance, excellent result overall. Yeah, go ahead, Larry.
You know, and speaking more about Landon from seeing him since he's returned to the team, it looks like, you know, here's a guy who had a great life. Married, has a son, lives in San Diego. Not a bad place to live, by the way.
Right.
But he clearly looks like he enjoys being back.
Yeah.
He really does.
I think there's some pressure on him. I'm not going to say it's low. It's no pressure, but I think it's lower pressure for him. He can come out and make a difference. And if that means that he's only on the field for 20 minutes, maybe that works for Landon Donovan. Actually, I think you're going to see more of Landon Donovan with the way that he's been playing and sort of starting to affect these games. So it's something that we'll just continue to keep an eye on because it will continue to be a storyline every time Landon Donovan comes in. And in this particular case, you know, he did a great job with this particular game. So you give him credit where credit's due. Now it's time to get Robbie Keane fired back up, and it's time to get guys like Giovanni Dos Santos back into the lineup as well. So, like I said, everything's sort of coming to a head now in the LA Galaxy. We'll look ahead to Seattle coming up on Sunday. So we'll be talking about that here in just a little bit. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And whenever we get back, we have LA Galaxy news. Perhaps another special guest will join us as well. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com.
Recording from COG Studios and not their mom's basement, it's Corner of the Galaxy.
Welcome back to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Mr. Larry Morgan is my guest co-host. I'm Josh Gessman. Thanks for coming back for us. We still got a bunch of stuff to talk to. I want to get quickly to my next guest. He's so nice to call in from the LA Galaxy's season ticket holder event. He's there right now as we speak. He's been on the show many times. Of course, you know him from Fox and all of the wonderful broadcasting he's done there. Please welcome back to the show a good friend of the show, Mr. Alexi Lawless. Alexi, thanks for stopping by.
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
I'm
taking a picture right now as I talk to you. I'm at a table here that is absolutely jam-packed with LA Galaxy legends and myself, and it is just an LA Galaxy orgy right here, basically. I mean, it is nuts. They got season ticket holders here. They're selling old jerseys and all this kind of stuff. So it's fun. I'm wedged between the great Todd Donovan on my left, the great Clint Mathis on my right, and then if I look down the table here, I got Paul Caligiuri, Peter Vallenas, Edson Buttle. If I go down, I can see Kevin Hartman, and then the man himself, Mauricio Cienfuegos, at the very end of the table. So like I said, it is a bunch of rogues here, but it's beautiful.
And we're talking to you.
And you're talking to me, but I'm going to pass you off to some different people here to talk to, so I guess that's okay.
That's absolutely. We will rock and roll. Larry, go ahead.
All right, hold on a second here.
All right, yep.
Somebody. Hey, Todd, say hello to the Corner of the Docks.
Ah, my friend, how are you?
It's Mr. Donovan. It is so nice to talk to you. How are you doing, buddy?
That's How are you?
We're doing great. We're going to have Alexi on the show, and he says you're sitting at a table with a bunch of these legends. And you clearly fall under LA Galaxy Legends in my book. You know that. but I said, why are we talking to you then? And so he hands the phone off to Todd. Todd, tell me what you've been up to, first of all.
Honestly, I literally just flew in from San Francisco. I'm helping start a new pro soccer team up in San Francisco. I have an NASL team coming. San Francisco Delta is coming in 2017, and that is taking up all kinds of time. It's a great project. We're really excited about it. We've got a great response from fans and from the city, and the opportunity to come down, though, and be here for season ticket holder night was too good to pass it up. It's great to see all the familiar faces here and say a lot of hellos.
Yeah. It sounds good. Here, I have somebody else on it. Larry Morgan's here in studio with me. He's helping me co-host today. So Larry has something he wanted to say.
Todd Donovan, how are you?
Hey, Larry. Good. How are you?
Hey, Todd.
I got to pass the phone here back to Alexi.
Okay, going back to Alexi. Sorry.
Okay.
Hey, guys, how we doing?
We're hanging in there. I mean, we talked to Todd Donovan already, and we got
Would you like to talk to somebody else?
Well, hold on. Larry has a question first.
Oh, Alexi, yeah.
Please.
Go.
Please tell us that you did not bring your guitar to that and are singing to the fans.
Please tell you that I didn't what?
That you didn't bring your guitar there and you're not singing.
No. I'm not playing. Okay, I would not subject these people to that type of torture, all right? Believe me. These are going to say that so far, they've already had enough torture. Hey, there we go.
No, I was going to say, I own every single one of your iTunes records. So, I mean, that's not even a thing for here.
If you're talking about Shots, the greatest rock and roll product ever put out, yeah.
Yes.
It's still available. Believe me, there's plenty of copies left.
That's very good. I wanted to know what the general vibe is there. It seems like everybody's having a pretty good time. I wanted the up-to-date report.
What's the general vibe here? Is it good? Is everybody having a good time? The official word here, okay, from the supporters that are here is that they think they're having a good time. I'm going to take that as a yes.
All right. Okay? All right. All right. That's good. Who else can we talk to?
You want to talk to Clint Mathis?
Let's talk to Cletus, please.
All right. Cletus, they want to say
hello. How's it going?
Hey, Clint, this is Josh Gessman with Corner of the Galaxy. Larry Morgan's here with me as well. Alexi said that you were there. I said we wanted to talk to you just to sort of get an idea of how the season ticket member event is doing and how everything's going with you.
No, it's doing well. Hey, Sam, can you holler out from?
Oh, yeah. We hear them. We hear them. It sounds like they're having a good time.
Nah, they're having a blast. It's a good little event, getting all the alumni all sitting together. So it's nice to see some old faces. Alongside seeing other players that are down out at the stadium. So, great thing going on here.
Hey, Clint, honestly, how much do you miss the competition? I know it's been a while since you played, but honestly, how much do you miss it?
My body doesn't at all. but mentally, it'd be nice to still be able to, do what Landon's doing. Take off a few years and then get back out there like he just finished yesterday. So, yeah, you definitely miss the competition and want to be out there running around and being in that atmosphere. But like I said, my body's thanking me that I'm not out there still.
Yeah, we certainly entered that. Well, Clint, thanks for stopping by, saying hi to us. Give us back to Alexi here. We'll finish up with him.
All right, Sam. Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, thanks,
Clint.
All right, Alexi, are you still live over there?
As we speak, spreading the news, it's just wonderful. It's an absolutely wonderful time. Hold on, let me go over here.
Oh, okay, we're going down the table.
Hold on a second. Here we go. Hey, Kevin, you want to speak to Kevin Hartman?
Kevin Hartman, El Gato. Yes.
Who is it?
Hey, Kevin, this is Josh with Corner of the Galaxy podcast, and I'm here with Larry Morgan. Cool. Apparently, we were talking with Alexi, where we were doing our thing, and he just started passing us down the table. So I guess it's your turn. I would ask you how it is to be back in LA right now, hanging out with the fans, seeing everybody. You're one of the most beloved members of the LA Galaxy, former players.
It's an absolute honor. I got off the plane this morning, came out from Sarasota area. And the weather here is beautiful. I got the opportunity to spend the afternoon with my parents and then to come back to the Galaxy, which is a real family of mine. Couldn't be prouder and happier right now.
Hey, Kevin, I imagine that you've gotten a little chance to see Brian Rowe play this year. I wanted to know what your impressions are of him. I've been a big fan of his throughout the year. I wanted to see maybe perhaps what a goalkeeper would think of that.
I think for me, to be honest, I think he's probably been one of those guys that I've really looked at is having a massive amount of potential. He stepped into what is a position
within the MLS where there's an embarrassing amount of pressure that's put on the goalkeeper.
Right.
And he's done very, very well. You know, I think technically sound, came from goalkeeper U. And I think he's done a great job. I mean, certainly he's going to take his lumps along the way because he's a young goalkeeper, and just anytime that you're kind of adapting to that, the speed of play and the razor level, you're going to have those experiences. He's taken them, he's learned from them, and I think he's somebody that I'm really looking forward to continuing to mature within the league.
Kevin, thanks for talking, but you can give us back to Alexi. We appreciate you giving us a quick moment here, and you can beat up Alexi later for forcing you to do this, all right?
I really appreciate the opportunity to challenge you guys anytime.
All right, thanks, Kevin.
Here's Alexi.
All right, let's see. All right, Alexi.
All right, do you guys still want to talk to anybody?
No, I think we're good. I think I just wanted to get just real quick your thoughts. LA Galaxy plays Seattle on Sunday.
I've stepped back from the field now, so from the table here, so I will kiss you.
Okay.
This is a serious moment now. All right.
Yeah, okay, yeah, this is everybody bring it in for a second. But I wanted to know what your thoughts are. LA Galaxy, Seattle, a huge game for Seattle in terms of trying to make the playoffs. LA Galaxy can clinch a playoff spot, which they're probably going to do regardless of what happens on Sunday. But it's one of their last two home games. What sort of all goes into the mixture of this game, and what do you expect?
Well, I mean, obviously there's the Landon Donovan continued saga and story that is something that you have to keep an eye on, not just because of the romance of it, but because of the practical aspect of the fact that this Galaxy team, given the injuries and the challenges that they've had this season, now has an injection of hope and an injection of somebody with incredible talent. And we saw the way that he can come on and change a game. Now, does he continue to be this super sub? Mm-hmm. What happens when he does get to the point where physically he feels like he can go 90? I mean, the Galaxy the other day was starting Alan Gordon. I love Alan Gordon, but that's not necessarily the way that you're going to win an MLS Cup. So I'll be interested to see how that plays out. The continuing rotating cast of stars that are in, that are out, that are playing, that aren't playing. This is a very strange Los Angeles Galaxy team this year. And yet we find ourselves once again on the brink of seeing a Bruce Arena team about to make it another playoffs. And you would never count out any type of Bruce Arena team. And even though this one is a little different, and I wouldn't put it on the caliber of past ones, they are still a team that can do damage. And they are still a team that I think, given a couple of more results and a little bit more trajectory upward, mm-hmm. this is a team that is going to put some fear in people. And I asked that question the other day on the national broadcast over at Fox. I said, is this a team that you fear? And I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's being played at 1 p.m. because of a national television broadcast on ESPN, not Fox's time. I should have, if Fox was on, I would have had you on.
I'm in Columbus this weekend with our Fox broadcast. So that'll be the Columbus New England game with a lot on the line in terms of playoffs.
That's another good one. But it's being played at 1 p.m. in Carson. It's supposed to be around 94 degrees. What do you think of these midday games that are right in the heat of the day?
I hated. Look at me. I mean, I'm a redhead, so that mutant gene does not like the sun. You can understand why. I hated playing in the sun. I always preferred night games. It just was more comfortable, and I actually think that that night games provide, in my estimation, a better atmosphere. But look, you got to do what you have to do, especially for national broadcast windows. It's an important component of the business, and we adjust and we adapt. But certainly if you have your druthers, you want to play at night. It'll slow the game down, but this is also not anything that any of these players aren't used to.
Well, make sure everybody goes out and downloads the Mutant Gene podcast, which I listen to on a regular basis. It's always a good listen, and I'm about halfway through of the last one that you put out, so I will finish that tomorrow on my drive into work. And, of course, you have Columbus and New England coming up on Fox. What time is that game?
Well, it'd be right after the your game, the Los Angeles Galaxy Seattle game. So just segue right into Fox right after you watch on ESPN.
That works great. All right, Alexi, thanks for stopping by, and thank you for handing the phone off. That was more fun than I can tell you that I was anticipating.
No problem. It worked out well. I'm glad I could show up again. So I look forward to the next time. See you guys.
All right. Thanks, Alexi. All right. There goes Alexi Lawless. Just in case you weren't paying attention there, we talked to Alexi Lawless. We talked to Todd Donovan, Clint Mathis, and Kevin Hartman. So there are all the people that we just got to talk to because we had Alexi Lawless on the show. So things aren't so bad every once in a while. You know, we actually have some fun here. So this now allows us to segue and move into some of the LA Galaxy news that we wanted to talk about. I can tell you right now, we're already going long. It's going to be a longer show, so still buckle up. Maybe grab some water, get some hydration break in there for you, all the listeners, because we have a bunch of stuff still to go over, and I feel like we haven't touched on any of it. So let's get to the LA Galaxy news, and I'll go through some of this, and Larry and I will discuss it. One of the first things that comes out, which is not a big deal, it's something that everybody anticipated, is that Time Warner Cable has changed names. All right, we know this now because because Charter bought Time Warner. I just don't want people to get confused. Larry's giving me a look like, who cares? This is not news. But
I don't get Time Warner, so I don't care.
Yeah, I know. That's what. So Time Warner Cable is bought by Charter Cable. Okay, that means that they've renamed Time Warner Cable Sportsnet and Time Warner Cable Deportes as Spectrum Sportsnet and Spectrum Deportes. Okay, which is just a straight up. And guess what? They're on the same channels. If you have apps. App, Larry, if you have the app on your phone, which I know you do, if you have the app on your phone, it already changed names, so you didn't have to do anything with that. It updated and it was magical, and so now it's Spectrum, you know, Sportsnet and Spectrum Deportes, so all that stuff. And I don't think anything else is changing. I think everything stays the same. I think that Spectrum had to pick up all of the contracts that Time Warner had, so the LA Galaxy.
They love that.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say. So they have all that stuff that's there right now for the LA Galaxy. It's everything's still on Spectrum / Time Warner. So if you hear me say Time Warner, it'll take me a little while to adjust and get to Spectrum Sportsnet and Spectrum Deportes, but just sort of keep an eye on that. All right. So Larry feels better already now that I've explained some of that stuff, I can tell. Let's go to another fun update. This one a little bit different. Wanted to give you an update on Jack McBean and his Coventry City loan. Jack is still playing with the Coventry City U23s. So he has not had any first team minutes. There was an article that came out in the Coventry Telegraph. And if you go on cornerofthegalaxy.com, you can see an article I wrote about that article, because that's how it works sometimes. Basically talking about Jack McBean and what he's gone through and everything else. He hasn't played any first team minutes. The GM that brought him in has quit. The coach there is apparently a little old school, so Jack McBean is going to fight. Now, I will tell you something about the first team right now with Coventry City is they can't score goals to save their life. Jack McBean has 4 goals, and basically I'm hearing something like 2 assists, but he was involved in 2 other goals, so that's how it was explained to me, so I'm not sure they were straight assists, but he was involved in the buildups to these other goals with the U23s, saying that he's had some trouble adjusting to the quickness. But he says that it's making him a better player already, even in the U23s. So if this coach wants to remain coach, I would suggest that he starts playing Jack McBean or giving him some first team minutes, because they're not scoring any goals. And Jack McBean is one of the truly shining stars for the LA Galaxy. And I see him as a first team player next year in place of somebody like Alan Gordon, who I don't expect back.
You know, I followed Jack McBean since he signed as a 16-year-old with the Galaxy first team. He was in. Let's face it, he was very impressive.
Yes.
When he started out, and then his career tended, it looked like it maybe flattened out a little bit.
Yes.
You know, personally, I thought the move to England was good for him, but I go back to, is there an underlying reason why he hasn't been playing? Could it be the old anti-Americanism, especially for a pretty unknown player?
Yeah, no, and again,
you have to wonder if that's one of the issues that's come into play here.
I feel like it is a little bit. People will say that I root for Jack McBean, which I am. I'm a fan of his. I think he does what he was able to do in USL earlier this year. Okay, Jack McBean hasn't played in 8 weeks in USL, Larry.
And he's still the leading
scorer? He's still tied for the leading scorer, okay? 15 goals. So everybody wants to talk up some of these other players who are below him in goals and have been playing the whole time, but Jack McBean is still the leading scorer, tied for the leading scorer. In USL. So that's sort of what he was able to do with that USL team, and that's why he couldn't stay there. You don't want him to be the best player on that team, and he wasn't going to get a ton of first team minutes with the LA Galaxy, so he's got to go, and that only makes sense in this particular case. All right, let's go next. I wanted to give everybody sort of an update. We talked a whole bunch about on Corner of the Galaxy from the Box earlier with Scott French and LA Galaxy insider Adam Serrano about the MLS playoffs and sort of the different scenarios that could go through and sort of the teams that we wanted to keep an eye on. One of those things we were talking about was tiebreakers at one point, and I don't know if we ever actually laid out the tiebreakers. So I went on the MLS website and pulled out all 9 tiebreakers for the MLS playoffs.
I thought there were 10.
Yeah, no, there's only 9. All right, number 9 is a coin toss, by the way. So that's how it. That's how.
And or 10 is pull a name out of a hat.
Well, no, that's 9 is split between a coin toss if there's 2 teams, or if there's more teams, the drawing of lots. Okay, so yes. Number one is the total number of wins. So if everybody else has tied on points, then you look at the total number of wins first. If that stays tied, you go to goal differential. Makes enough sense. Okay, number three is goals for. So how many goals have you scored? That's the next tiebreaker. Then the fewest disciplinary points. So the LA Galaxy aren't winning that one. Thanks, Nigel DeYoung.
Who thinks of this stuff?
MLS people.
Fewest disciplinary points?
Don't worry. If you're tied with number four, which I would love to see it get all the way to number four. If you get to number five, then it's away goal differential. Away goal differential, which is fine. What you do on the road. That's the LA Galaxy might actually be okay. That would be a good one for the LA Galaxy if they got into the tiebreaker. Then away goals four is number six. Away, how many goals you scored on the road. Then seven, home goals differential. And then eight, home goals for, okay, how many goals you scored at home, which the Galaxy could really do well on. That's one of the good ones. And then nine, like I said, is the coin toss if there's two clubs or the drawing of lot if there's three or more clubs.
There's no head-to-head.
It's no head-to-head. So I apparently the tiebreaker goes, I read them. That's what it is. All right, that's for 2016. Now talking with Scott French, we're like, hey, didn't we remember some other different ways and in a different order? And the answer is yes, MLS seems to change this every year. So this is what it is for 2016. Doesn't mean that that's what it's going to be for 2017. LA Galaxy 2 announce open tryouts. All right. This is interesting. And the reason.
Please don't tell me you're going to be out there.
I would like to go out. To be honest with you. I mean, not me trying out.
I would probably be good for like maybe a 10-yard run and that's it.
They keep tweeting out stuff like, do you have what it takes? Come out and join LA Galaxy
2. I don't.
And I'm like, no, I don't. No, I wish I did, but I don't. So LA Galaxy 2 has open tryouts. This is the way. Some Major League Soccer teams have a general open tryout. So you could make it to the Philadelphia Union if they have an open tryout, that type of thing. This is the LA Galaxy's open tryout. You show up for LA Galaxy 2. If they like you, then they'll sign you to LA Galaxy 2. If they love you, they might sign you to the first team too. I mean, that's sort of their way of looking at it. Here's the interesting thing about these open tryouts. They were in Vegas last year. There were some in Vegas. There were some in LA. Those were the places. I don't think there was anything else. This year they've added a destination, and it's a very interesting destination. So how it's going to go is December 3rd and 4th, LA Galaxy 2 will hold open tryouts in Las Vegas. And then December 15th and 16th, this is the interesting one, they're holding open tryouts in Tokyo, Japan. Tokyo, Japan, which I think is very interesting.
Very interesting.
And I love it. I think it's a great idea. Sending Kurt Anolfo and maybe somebody like Dave Sarakin. This is after MLS Cup, so this is everybody's going to be free. So maybe Bruce Arena goes to Tokyo too.
I hope they bring their Japanese English dictionary.
That's for sure. Maybe they can afford a translator. We'll never know.
Could be.
So Bruce, if you want me on that plane, just pay for the plane ticket and I'll ride with you. No problems. I'll carry your bags, whatever you need. Los Angeles, January 21st and 22nd, and January 28th and 29th. So two open tryout dates in LA. That'll be at StubHub Center, Track and Field Stadium, I imagine. So those are your interesting ones. Wanted to sort of show that to everybody and say, hey, this is what's going on with LA Galaxy 2. The open tryouts in Tokyo. I love the reach for this, Larry. I love saying, hey, let's go look into some of those Asian markets and see if we can find some young talent that we could bring over to LA Galaxy 2, sign you as a professional, and then if you develop, we're going to put you on the senior team.
And I wonder if a certain Japanese player will try to sneak in there and you know,
so
incognito.
So the Honda rumors have certainly been flying about recently. And
that'd be the perfect spot for him.
There was some rumors that perhaps he was ready to come to Major League Soccer. And of course, one of the first places that he gets tied to is the LA Galaxy, like a lot of people. Did some investigating on it. There was a picture floating around saying, hey, you know, he's at LAX. And yes, he was at LAX. It was just a year ago that apparently that was set out. But that doesn't mean, and I'll just say this, I'll say it cautiously because I don't want you guys to think that there's something going on. I don't think it's as far-fetched as everybody thinks, despite the fact that picture was from a year ago. I think there could be something to it. I just don't think it's anything right now.
If anybody can pull it off, though,
it's
Bruce Arena and the LA Galaxy and Chris Klein. If anybody can do it, this team can.
So anyway.
No question. They've done it before. They can do it again.
So those are the Honda rumors, and we'll see.
And this guy has gotten little or no playing time in AC Milan, so...
Yes.
Who knows?
Yes. Apparently, he never left AC Milan. So, just in case you were wondering where he was and how that was all going, he has stayed there the whole time. He was not here in LA. LA Galaxy 2, more LA Galaxy 2 stuff to host Fan Appreciation Night. This is on September 24th. This is Saturday. Saturday night, LA Galaxy 2, Track and Field Stadium at StubHub Center, where LA Galaxy 2 will play their last regular season game of 2016. Real Monarchs SLC, the Salt Lake City affiliate, is coming to StubHub Center. So it's at 7:30 p.m. LA Galaxy 2 hosts Fan Appreciation Night during the team's final home match. Let's see. They will celebrate their fans and their support this year during a special night at StubHub Center. Fan Appreciation Night will feature numerous giveaways, including LA Galaxy 2 branded T-shirts and other exclusive items courtesy of Alcatel, Bear Republic, Herbalife Nutrition, Chick-fil-A, and a whole bunch of other stuff. LA Galaxy 2 head coach Kurt Anolfo will also personally address the fans postgame, and fans will have the opportunity to win warm-up jerseys off of an LA Galaxy 2 player's back. If you have not seen any LA Galaxy 2 games, get your butt out there on Saturday night, because you're missing some amazing play by some young players, and if you were out there watching this, then you would know why Jose Villarreal isn't the best young player for the LA Galaxy right now, and that it could be somebody else on that team. It could be somebody like Diop or Adonis Amaya or Covarrubias, or I'm trying to think of some others. Josh Turnley is down there. You get to see guys like Dave Romney get some minutes in there as well. So there's lots of guys. Ariel Lassiter.
All you need to know about Diop is he got the call to play for the Galaxy ahead of Dan Kennedy. That's all I need to know about
The number two goalkeeper.
Correct.
Clement Diop. So that's sort of where that sits as well. All right. We look at the LA Galaxy 2 or the LA Galaxy schedule. Switch away from LA Galaxy 2. As we go down here, we're going to have we have four games left. Home to Seattle, away to FC Dallas, away to Houston, and then home for FC Dallas. That is the final game of the season on Sunday, October 23rd. The LA Galaxy currently sits second in the Western Conference, 48 points. They sit just 4 points behind FC Dallas, of which they have two games against, so a possible 6 points. At 1.6 points per game, they play 30 games. Colorado Rapids is the one you want to keep an eye on with 28 games. Larry, you and I have been talking about that. They have two games that they have to make up, which means they're going to be playing either during some breaks that are coming up or that they'll be playing midweek.
Correct.
Yeah, so
that's the team I think the Galaxy has to worry about.
Just overtaking
the Rapids
them.
Are 1 point behind, and they're two games in hand. They are troublesome.
They are, because they're defensively solid. Their offense has been sputtering. I was actually at the game San Jose at Colorado over the weekend. I was in Denver and saw that game. First trip to Dick's Sporting Goods Park, which I really enjoyed, by the way. I thought it was a cool place. Standing room only tickets, even though a third of the stadium was not full. So, nonetheless, made it about a half there before my son decided that he was no longer going to go. He's five, so he gets to determine when we go home. So at halftime, he was like, we're out. I'm like, that sounds good to me. And then it ended up 0-0. They've been struggling offensively. So Colorado, not super worried about them. Real Salt Lake, again, is within striking distance. They're looking like they're a better team at 44 points, 30 games played. Portland Timbers, 41, and Sporting Kansas City, 40 points just above. You have Seattle Sounders in seventh, the first team below the red line. Two games in hand, though.
Two games in hand.
28 points.
Which makes Sunday's game for them extremely important.
LA Galaxy sits second in Supporters Shield standings behind FC Dallas. FC Dallas is the only team in the Western Conference to have clinched a playoff spot. I think they might be the only team in both conferences to have clinched a playoff spot, but that'll start changing here very rapidly as these games get played this weekend, because some of those guys are going to start clinching the playoffs. LA Galaxy, with a win over the Seattle Sounders, can clinch a playoff spot. They're almost guaranteed for that. All right. Larry, LA Galaxy versus Seattle Sounders coming up on Sunday, September 25th at 1 p.m. Pacific time. It's going to be hot. Hot, 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 hot.
Although we will be cool in the press box, hopefully.
Well, there's no air conditioning there, Larry.
True.
There's no guarantee, but I'm going to go short sleeves, I think. You know, maybe we'll pull Taylor Twellman and wear like a tie. And
just no tank tops.
And yeah, no tank tops. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Adam. LA Galaxy Insider, showing up in
and
the tank tops.
No sleeveless shirts.
I'm going to rip the sleeves right off. But anyway, yeah, maybe I'll figure out a way to wear shorts or something like that. 94 degrees, possibly, around kickoff time, so 1 p.m. right in the middle. This game is being nationally televised, which is why it is a 1 p.m. kickoff time on ESPN.
Gotta love national TV.
Oh, my. Well, I did decide to break out another rule. I went into the rules again after I looked up all those tiebreakers, Larry, and I looked up what hydration breaks will actually mean. So in 2016, the league office will mandate the use of hydration breaks. These are the water breaks in the middle of the halves, basically. If the wet bulb globe temperature measures 82 degrees or higher. And Larry, you say...
Is that the 10th tiebreaker?
Yeah, it should be. What's the wet bulb globe temperature. Larry, I know what you're thinking right now, and you're thinking, Josh, what is the wet bulb globe temperature? And lucky...
Yeah, so please enlighten us.
Yes, lucky for you, I went on weather.com and picked this information right up. The wet bulb globe temperature is a measure of the heat stress in direct sunlight, which takes into account temperature, humidity, wind speed, sun angle, and cloud cover, in parentheses, solar radiation. All right, this differs from the heat index, which takes into consideration temperature and humidity and is calculated for shady areas.
How did they ever come up with wet bulb?
So if you work or exercise in direct sunlight, then you are one of these people who might know what the wet bulb is. And military agencies, OSHA, so
but
occupation.
Why did they name it wet bulb?
I think it has to do with the measuring device. I don't know. I didn't go into the history of it.
Well, if it's a wet bulb, I'm not holding it. Yes. I might get electrocuted.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
That's right. That's how many people does it take to change a wet bulb globe temperature as a guide to managing basically workload in direct sunlight. So that's the idea. So that is it. It will be over it. All right. It's going to be 94 degrees. It will be over that. There will be hydration breaks. You can look for those to happen, and they should happen approximately 30 minutes into each half. That's when they're supposed to happen. Okay. The clock doesn't stop. They just add the time on the back. Okay. The Seattle Sounders, the wonderful Seattle Sounders, will come in. They are 11-4-15. 11. No, see, that's the galaxy. They are 10, 13, and 5.
Right.
I just wrote them backwards. No worry. Don't worry.
However, they are 4-1-3 since Schmetzer took over as interim coach in late July.
Yeah. And
much more formidable team, even without Clint Dempsey.
Yeah. And I think we were talking about that who really came in whenever Schmetzer left was Lodeiro.
Lodeiro.
Right. And Lodeiro has been one of their spark plugs, along with Jordan Morris, who has been playing.
A good chance to be rookie of the year.
Yeah. Very good chance. And he came in with a lot of hype. It wouldn't surprise me if that just swayed his way anyway, but he scored a lot of goals for Seattle this year. They have a bunch of really good players. You know, Roldan is a good player. Their back line has sort of been their weak link, and I think it may continue to sort of be one of their weak links. So it's something to watch for the LA Galaxy, but they're coming off of a 1-0 victory over Vancouver Whitecaps, and Vancouver has been struggling a little bit too. So,
and what's interesting about Seattle, we talked about it before the show, they haven't won at StubHub since 2009. They're 4-9-7 all time against the Galaxy.
Yeah, and we were trying to say this, and I'm going to screw it up again because I'm going to tell you that the LA Galaxy have the... So of all the teams that Seattle has played in MLS since they joined the league, they have the worst record against the LA Galaxy, which is sort of... But at the same time, Larry, you just said it. They haven't won since when? 2011?
2009.
2009. And that includes U.S. Open Cup, by the way. That's MLS and U.S. Open Cup. They have not beat the LA Galaxy. Although, I think that's BS, by the way. I'm going to look up the thing. This is the stat. Since 2009, now 11 trips in league and MLS Cup play without a win. That's crazy.
Unbelievable.
That's crazy. So anyway, this is the...
And some of these Seattle teams have been very, very good teams.
I think this Seattle team can be good. I really do. I think they can be good. And it'll be something that we have to watch on Sunday. I don't know what's going to happen. I mentioned the Heat in the Sporting Kansas City game. And the Heat could be an issue again. For the LA Galaxy in this game, 94 degrees. Seattle coming obviously from Seattle. Hopefully you get a little home team bounce there from that. North and south isn't the most difficult thing. This is the fourth time these teams have met this year too. The LA Galaxy were 1-0 wins away July 9th. 4-2 win at home. This was at the Track and Field Stadium for the U.S. Open Cup whenever they beat them 4-2. And then a 1-1 draw away in July 31st. All in July.
Lodeiro's first game back. Lodeiro's first game with the team.
Yeah.
And Schmetzer's first game since... He took over for Schmid.
And the other sort of question mark for Seattle right now is Clint Dempsey. And from everything that we look like, he hasn't been training with the team. And I don't know that he...
Issues with his irregular heartbeat is what we understand.
Yep, that's what we understand. And I don't know that you're going to get anything from him in this game from Seattle, which I don't know that they need him. They'll probably survive and do just fine. But anyway, it should be a really interesting game. This is going to be the game that sort of tests that theory, because I think Giovanni Dos Santos is going to be ready to play in this game. I think we were talking, you said Steven Gerrard...
I think chances are very good he will be playing.
Okay, so Steven Gerrard could be playing in this game for the LA Galaxy. And then you have Robbie Keane, who had a horrible game against Sporting Kansas City. That was atrocious.
You really have to, I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum. Really have to wonder how much Robbie has left. You know, with older athletes like Robbie and Steven, they're not only prone to more injuries, but their recovery time takes longer and longer every time they get hurt.
It absolutely, yeah, no, it is. And so it's something you're going to see. And again, the DP conversation that we continue to have about Robbie Keane just continues to mount here, Larry. It's one of those things where if you're the LA Galaxy, there's no reason why you should be making any sort of contract moves until after the season, because you have no idea what Robbie Keane has done. I think he's only played in 15 games.
Something like that.
Yeah, 15 games this year. Less than half, basically, of the games if the whole season goes through. So he's going to be right around a little bit over 50% of the games for the LA Galaxy. Whether that was away with Ireland or whether that was because of injury, he just hasn't played. And you look at the minutes he scored and all that stuff. I mean, the production from him is way down. And so you have to wonder whether or not you're going to get anything from him if you extend that out. So, want to see that. Think it's going to be interesting again to see Bruce starts at defense. Robbie Rogers is probably going to start. I have no illusions about that. I imagine that he starts. I imagine the back line stays unchanged from the Sporting Kansas City game.
It'll be Cole, Van Dam, and Steris.
Yeah.
And we, you know, as we said earlier in the show, put AJ out there instead of Robbie Rogers. Please put AJ out there.
He's not going to do it. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to happen. So Robbie Rogers will get that start again. In the middle will be interesting whether or not Baju Husicic makes a return instead of Jeff Lorentowicz. If Bruce wasn't pleased with Jeff's performance in Sporting Kansas City, again, I think the entire defensive game plan was to sit back in that game, and they absorbed way too much pressure. So I don't know how much. Almost paid for it. But the LA Galaxy with a win, here's the thing. The LA Galaxy are going to make the playoffs, all right? That's sort of whether it happens this game or not. But the fact that Seattle really needs 3 points, I mean, they desperately need it. They're right on the edge of that of the playoff race, and they could see their playoff help. They could miss the playoffs this year. It's very reasonable. Now, I said they were going to make it all along. If you go back a couple months, whenever they were really down the dumps, I said, hey, they could easily make the playoffs, and I think they still could, and I think they still will.
I think it's almost a must-win for them this weekend, almost a must win.
Which is different from the other sort of times that a lot of times when Seattle comes to play LA, they haven't had to go after LA and try to score. So that's what we have. Again, the LA Galaxy game, it's 1 p.m. Pacific time, Sunday, September 25th. This is game number 301 of the MLS season in 2016, just in case you wanted to know which game it is. It's on ESPN, so make sure you tune in there. It's a nationally televised game, and I expect to see everybody at StubHub Center. Lots of people should be there. Again, 1 p.m., a little warm. Wear your sunscreen. Yeah, I was gonna say that's how it is. And Larry and I and Kevin will be up in the press box trying to shield ourselves from the heat.
Not the heat, but from the confetti.
The confetti gets in our drinks all the time. So when the confetti goes off, the wind blows, it goes right into our drinks all the time. It's one of those first world problems, but you know, it's one of the things that happens. So I just wanted everybody to know.
It's one of the hazards of journalism.
Isn't it? And I'll tell you, so many of them, Larry, so many. You know, flying corks from champagne bottles during celebrations. Getting soaked and drenched with champagne during celebrations, getting kicked with soccer balls at training. That's always something you got to watch. And then being made fun of by Bruce Arena on an almost constant basis.
Every time at training, he always makes fun of me. I don't know if it's because I'm almost as old as he is or not, but I think he enjoys it. I enjoy it sometimes too. I mean, when he first arrived on the scene, it was very difficult to get along with. And now he's tolerable.
He has
his good day. He has more good days than bad days.
He still thinks my name is John Guzman.
John Guzman.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody knows that story by now. So that's how it is. All right. I think that does it for us. I think we're going to wrap this up. It's been a long show, and I apologize for that. But I'm sure we had a lot of fun. I want to thank Kevin Baxter from the LA Times for coming on with us. That was really great. Want to obviously thank Alexi Lawless for coming on, and Todd Dunavant and Clint Mathis and Kevin Hartman as well. That was always good. And Larry, it's been a pleasure having you in studio here. So thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Pleasure's mine as always.
All right. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and get on out of here. As soon as I, of course, can get the soundboard working at the very end. That's how it always works. Right at the end when everybody's ready to go. That's when you want to close everything out, and that's whenever the soundboard doesn't work. All right. Ooh, long show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. A lot of great stuff. Just had a lot of fun today. So always fun to change things up a little bit. I will be out at the game on Sunday. LA Galaxy, only 4 games to go in the remainder of the season. Should be interesting to see how everything sort of fizzles out and wraps up. LA Galaxy versus Seattle Sounders on Sunday, 1 p.m. ESPN. That's all you need to know. All right. For Mr. Larry Morgan, I'm Josh Gessman, and you've been listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Have a great night, everybody.
You've been listening to the Corner of the Galaxy podcast on cornerofthegalaxy.com. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Galaxy Podcast, and be sure to check out and subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, and Facebook by searching for Corner of the Galaxy. And for all of your independent LA Galaxy news, discussion, and entertainment, including this podcast, head on over to cornerofthegalaxy.com. Fans, thanks for listening. We ask that you be kind and courteous to your neighbors as you leave the podcast. We thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you again. Until then, I'm Michael Araujo, and on behalf of the entire Corner of the Galaxy crew, goodbye, everybody.